WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Leave the formalities out of the way for a second. Lindsay will do her open in a second. But Uncle Dave was telling me a story the other day, Brent. And he's just going to go on and tell it to me for the longest time. Your thoughts on his storytelling?
Fuck Uncle Dave. Fuck him right in... God damn it. Oh...
Let it out.
Look. I understand. I understand the whole storyline there. I get it. Like, we talked about it on WTR. I put this forth. Like, this would be the great thing, is Seth cashes in on CM Punk and all of this. Fuck Dave Meltzer. Fuck him right in the eye. The guy covered his ass, essentially. He did everything he could to be like, well, this is supposed to be the storyline, and if they don't do it, then it's because they changed their mind and it got leaked, and it's not a surprise anymore, and oh, fucking now we're never going to hear the end of this bullshit from this washed-up piece of shit. Don't get me wrong, surprise was great, but fuck Meltzer. Oh, God, I hate him so much. And now he's never going to shut up about it. It's going to be, I was right, look, I was right. Oh, my head hurts. My soul hurts. And this is me being restrained because I don't want to peek out on the audio, because I can be louder, unfortunately. Oh, I am so frustrated by the... Like, I get this is going to be the storyline coming out of it, is Seth screwed CM Punk, and now Punk will get his retribution. And also, it's comeuppance for CM Punk for what he did with Drew McIntyre, because Punk has also had a 5-minute title reign now. I get that piece of it. I understand it. I just hate the fact of who's involved with it. Well, satellite-wise, is involved with it. Because the man has not been relevant in wrestling for years. Aside from putting up fake fucking match rankings that are 12 stars if you're in fucking Japan. But now he's going to just gloat because I got this right and you all doubted me, even though he was going to be right no matter what because he can't deal with being wrong.
So at this point,
you good?
Lindsay?
No, but that's all I've got in me right now. It'll probably work itself back up later.
It'll work itself up as we get to it. Lindsay, you should do the intro now.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. It is not a Thursday night. It is a Saturday night. It is the end of SummerSlam Night 1. And it was an eventful show, as you can hear. So we're going to talk all about it. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman Sir Rockin, and of course, you know, our favorite intern who has opinions, King Kittens, aka Brent. And yeah, you know, if you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use that here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow us the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. We are recapping the show. Oh, they did things on this show, things I don't think any of us were expecting. I know there were a couple surprises for me. What about y'all? Aside from the ending, not including the ending that we just talked about, there were some surprises on this show.
Oh, there were certainly some things that were different than what we thought. Although I will say one of the matches, even though I picked against it, was basically what I talked about on Sunday.
It was a good show. But until the main event, it didn't feel like a major event.
I will give you that, yeah.
It felt kind of like a backlash.
It kind of did. And I think part of it is the setting they were in, in big stadium, where it was light out. As the night got darker, mm-hmm. the event felt a little bit more, felt bigger, more important.
Well, something funny about that, Rock. Would you say that was the same kind of feeling with, like, a WrestleMania 31?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because that undercard of that show, when we watched it long ago, it was that kind of thing, like, this feels a little weird. This doesn't feel right. Like, oh, they need to put this on at night in order to, like, captivate or, you know, get the most result. And then it was like, by the time it got to night, it was like, all right, it felt ramped up.
All right, to answer a mm-hmm. couple things from Chip, why they put it on 6 p.m., there is a UFC event on at 10 p.m. Eastern. That is number one. They try to not have main UFC events going and WWE events going up against each other. They try to avoid that as much as possible. Two, I think if you're there live, getting done at 10 is probably good for traffic, because last time they did a WrestleMania there, everyone got out after midnight and were stuck.
Trains. Yeah.
They were stuck on trains and couldn't get trains out. So those couple of things factor into everything. I didn't mind the start time. It just...
The only thing I really minded was like the 3-hour pre-show beforehand, but that's optional.
That was very much optional. I really didn't pay much attention to it.
Had it on in the background.
Yeah, that's pretty Same. Much the deal. But no, it felt like I think the problem with it, and it wasn't it, one was the lighting because it was daytime. Two, we were tag heavy to start,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of fell a little off because they're trying to make this feel like a WrestleMania, and when you think about it, it's like it's not truly a WrestleMania like show, but because they're trying to build it as is, you kind of have to look at it with those expectations kind of as well. Because when you think, oh, Tim says 100% didn't feel like SummerSlam until the main event. I've watched many of SummerSlams that don't feel like it, just feel like a regular show. So,
I mean, when you're going two nights, two, you have to be cognizant that you can't have one outshine the other. You want both to be equal. So it's either you put on two really, really, really phenomenally good shows, which is difficult to pull off in this scenario, depending on who goes on what show, or you do two average shows except for the ending, and then you make the endings phenomenal. And I think that's kind of the strategy that they're probably going for here, is that the show was fine. It was entertaining. It was very enjoyable. Do not get me wrong. I'm not insulting them all when I say that it was pretty average. But it's, you didn't see anybody really hit third gear, as it were, until the main event. They all went out there. They all put on good matches, fun matches. But you didn't see, like, the match of the night candidates, if that makes sense. And I would agree that part of that too is it was a very tag heavy show, which we talked about on Thursday was an interesting choice.
It was an interesting choice. Like, I think if they switched this tag match out onto tomorrow and put another singles match on, the show would have had a better flow.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, I think you could have moved some things around because there's TLC tomorrow and that's it in terms of all the tags. Like, they somehow got, I think, almost the entire men's tag division on this show.
For tomorrow.
On between the two nights.
Well, for SmackDown, for sure. Raw tags division's nowhere to be seen. Raw tags nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, the interesting thing about tomorrow is they all have one thing in common. Every match is championship tomorrow.
That also plays a big part in it as well. Go ahead.
You got all of your regular matches out on Saturday.
You did. You had a couple championship matches, and I'm just going to say it, because we'll just float around a little bit. We'll talk about the main event and Brent's thoughts later. I thought Tiffany and Jade had a hell of a match.
Oh, that was really good.
They did, and the surprising thing is you look and it was like, oh, it was only 7 minutes. They got in all the stuff they needed to in that bit, and that was it. They didn't try and draw it out and fluff it up a bit.
And that was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will then complain, well, why didn't they get 15, 20? Because they know the limitations.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Jade, athletic, built like a, you know, powerhouse, but has the offense of that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want her in a 15-minute match. And no offense, Tiffany kind of falls a bit into the same category where she can perform, but I don't know if I want her to go extended periods. I think she works good in kind of a nice managed sprint.
Yeah, and that's where the athletic background comes into play. It's, you don't have to go long. You did what you needed to do. Tim says this to his opinion of Tiffany skyrocket tonight. Yeah, she's really good. I was for the last month, anytime this match was brought up, I was like, this is gonna be a really good match, because they had the really good match back on SmackDown right after WrestleMania, and it was really good tonight. It was seven minutes.
Yeah, it was just about 7 minutes long.
It didn't feel 7 minutes. It felt like a worthy championship match. They had enough big moments, like the stuff on the top rope towards the end was really good.
That was really well done. Although it did look like at one point I was like, oh shit, are they going to fall? Because Tiffany had to adjust herself on that top rope a bit.
But they took their time.
Oh God. And
they made the spot work.
Yeah.
They delivered.
I think they did a good job. Like, this was Jade's first big moment, singles. And I think the story they told with her, like, hitting the jaded, but falling back far enough for Tiffany's foot to be on the rope. And you saw, like, Jade kind of come a bit unglued with that. Like, she's hit the thing that has gotten her to, you know, everywhere she wanted to be. And this was the first moment where it was like, she kind of screwed up.
And that will be the story you tell out of it. How she recovers from screwing up like that.
Yeah.
I thought,
because in other aspects, she had Tiffany's number. Like, when Tiffany tried to hit the, the PME? The prettiest moonsault, and she put both of her legs straight and caught her under the chin. It was like, oh, that's interesting.
I kind of wish Tiffany had sold that a little bit more. I know I normally don't say stuff like that, but just in terms of that spot, I felt like they got up a little bit too quickly from that, because that should have been a little bit more devastating looking than it was. And I felt like that was a little thing that kind of took you out of it a moment, because she took it and she landed and she kind of like twitched and then she got up like pretty much right away. And it's like, no, lay there for a minute.
Yeah, I would say, Tim, go ahead.
Just lay there for a minute.
I would say, Tim, that was bad camera work, because they could have did it. They were too zoomed in on her foot. They were 4K. They were telegraphing the spot, and you saw her kind of help lift it up. If they had a different angle, we wouldn't have seen it. And then they replayed it with the same angle, which was weird. I thought that was. I thought it was a really good match overall. I thought they delivered, and I would say it was the second best match of the night.
I thought it was really enjoyable. I think it definitely played to both women's strengths, because they both come from a similar background. They were able to work well together. We all knew they were going to. They didn't make it too long. They did high risk spots, and they went for some things, but overall they played to each other's strengths and they made each other look really, really, really good. I was actually a little shocked that Jade loss. Like, I know the story was telling that she made errors and now she has to recover from that. But with the way that they've been building her up, I was a little surprised that Tiffany retained.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought she was going to win the belt, but here we are.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things of, like Rock said, the bigger story coming out of this is how does Jade take, you know, that next step after coming up short this time? Because also, we've seen Jade across companies, like, when she's entered into these kinds of moments, it's like, oh, well, Jade's going to win because it's Jade Cargill. But now we get to see, like, okay, she came up short. What's next for her? Like, how does she recover? How does she learn from this?
I just don't want them to do to her what they did to Shayna Baszler. Was it Shayna or was it Kari? No, it was Kari. Where they would build her up, they would build her up, they would build her up, they would put her into a title, and then they wouldn't pull the trigger.
No,
and they did it multiple times to her until they finally did it. And I don't necessarily want them to do that with Jay, because it was like she got so many chances, especially in a short amount of time, that it's like, surely this is it. Surely they're going to do it. And they never would. And we finally got to that last chance. And this is like, this is sort of it. You kind of have to, or nobody's going to care. And that's really the danger of doing this. Because like I said, they built her up so well, like they're making her into something that you felt like that this was going to be that next step. And then it's not. And you're like, okay.
The only thing I would say coming out of that with it, mm-hmm. Bianca's coming back. And if you're doing,
yeah,
going to tell a Bianca and Jade story, you don't need the belt. So
yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yes.
I have a feeling when Jade wins the title, it's going to be in a bigger storyline moment. Like, no offense to Jade, but there wasn't much of a build for her aside from, well, she won the Queen of the Ring, so therefore she gets this chance. And I think when she does win the title, when they put her into that next opportunity, it'll be more structured, I think, coming into it.
Maybe we'll have to see. Like, they had her out doing a lot of press. She got the Maybelline deal. Like, they've been putting her out there as more of a public face of the company, which is why it's like, when they do that kind of thing to people, you know it's coming, right? Like, you know they're going to put the title on her, and you know they're going to strap the rocket to her. And they're just going to send her off into the stratosphere, unless they think they can do it without the title, which they certainly can. Like, she has the capability to do that. But I was, like I said, it was just kind of a surprise, especially since Tiffany has had the title for as long as she's had it, that you would think, okay, they're going to move it onto Jade, give Tiffany a little break, and then go off with Jade and then build, you know, that next contender for Jade, whoever that is, you know, whether that is Bianca or whoever. But if the direction is Bianca and Jade and they don't need the title, okay, fine. More power to you. But it, like I said, it was just a surprise. That's all. They didn't go predictable.
Maybe that's more of the story from today.
They didn't go with the predictable thing here. Which is great for entertainment. It is
great.
It's great for entertainment.
It is great for entertainment. I thought Sammy and Karrion was just kind of eh.
It was putting bow on their stuff.
Yeah.
Please, God, let this be the end of this.
They tried something with the pipe at the end, but it was like, eh. It was just.
Go ahead.
No, it was just a match. It didn't over deliver. It didn't under deliver. It was just kind of there. It
filled time.
Pretty much.
I hate to say it that way, but it filled time.
I feel like it's sort of the summary of the whole feud to me, where it was there, but it wasn't necessarily memorable outside of Scarlett's outfit.
Well, that's
she
always
was very
the case.
Spiky. And she was super spiky. I was like, I hope she doesn't have any of those on her butt, because I don't know how she's going to sit down. But like that, I just hope this is the end of this feud, because I haven't enjoyed it and I just kind of want it to go away. We did have a little bit with Sammy at the end though, where they kind of had to like pull him back a little bit. So maybe that's something. I don't know.
Well, Rock brought this up, and you had mentioned something on Thursday when, okay, so they did the spot with the pipe, and Scarlett is telling him, you know, essentially, use it, do it, give in. And you had made a reference on Thursday, Lindsay, of what Karrion was, but someone had done it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically the same spot from WrestleMania 30, in a way, mm-hmm. with Boo Boo in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, do it. Hit me. Hit me. Show me what you're really like. Do it. And we had kind of the same result where the person they're portraying is kind of the white meat baby face, you know, the incorruptible one chucked the item away and ultimately, you know, proved their status with this match.
I hope we see different things going forward for Sammy and Karrion.
Agreed.
If we see more from Karrion.
They were plugging the book.
I mean, they were still a talent.
They were plugging the book, and then, like, if they read the social media, like, people are saying they don't want it to be the end for him, so maybe they'll carry it forward, but who knows?
Now that he's had his opportunities, just like R-Truth did, will the momentum stay?
Yeah, that's the big thing, is it just a matter of, like, you do the, we want truth, and then you get it back, and no offense, we've had Ron Killings back for a few weeks now, and okay.
That's what I said Thursday. Where is he now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was the third man in a two-man feud, and not in a good way.
Not in a good way. So, yeah, Sammy won. I thought the opening tag was okay. It felt very basic for a while. Then Roman almost killed himself, flying over the top rope.
Yeah.
Overshot.
He overshot. They didn't catch. He did a flip.
He almost takered himself is what he did.
That's what I mean. He almost killed himself on the on the dive.
Braun. So we during that match, there was the story of, oh, Braun seemed to have roughed up his knee. If you looked at the end of the night, more than just a story, it looks like.
He was limping back. There was a video of him limping backstage. And yeah,
he's limping back. He has a big wrap on it right now. It, yeah.
Oh no, it's the Seth curse all over again.
You just traded one leg for another. Yeah.
It was. He took the story too far. That's what it is. He's selling. He's overselling for the fact. Never mind.
He's overcompensating.
Yeah.
I will say that a highlight of this match for me was not anything to do with the match. It was the fact that Bronson walked out with those fucking Jordans around his neck. I screamed. I shit you not. I was sitting here and I was watching it. And when he walked out with the shoes, I was like, yes.
You mean the Shoe LaFala?
Yes, the Shoe LaFala. Yes.
Tribal Thief and the Shoe LaFala. It's like, you fucking trolls!
Like, goddamn well done. I'm so proud of y'all. I'm so proud. If nothing else comes out of this, this is showing Bronson Reed in a really, really, really great light. And it's showing you how talented he really is and how entertaining he can be. And so I hope, which we all kind of knew, right? But you have to put him in the right setting. And this is a really good setting for him. And so I hope something good comes out of it for him, because he's really taking advantage of this and really proving himself in this. Braun Breaker is kind of struggling a little bit with it. And I think he does, like, he can cut a promo, kind of. But you haven't seen that, like, nuance from him yet, like what Bronson is doing.
Bronson has, I think, naturally the personality.
Yeah.
Braun, for lack of a better term, may have the overall personality of a potato. And I don't necessarily, look, I don't know if I necessarily blame him. His role models were his dad, who never was a great talker.
Mm-mm.
Even before the Chucky incident, never a great talker. And his uncle was only famous for promos because it was so awkward.
To me, Braun Breaker has one setting, and this is not a shot at him at all, but it's the jock setting. It's what he knows how to do. It's what it comes across as. And it works, again, in very specific scenarios. It does not work in this scenario at all. He's trying. He's trying super hard, and bless him, he's trying. But it's just, he needs somebody to talk for him so bad. Like, please, just, you have Heyman right there. Just let Heyman talk for him. Don't Bronson Reed is fine. Bronson can do his own thing. And based on what happened tonight, I think we're going to see a little bit of reset in that group because Seth is back. And so Seth will now be the front man again. And Bron can kind of step behind Seth and be, do his Bron thing and stand there and be scary and like tackle people to the ground and do all the things that he's really, really good at. And he really, really shines at because he is so athletically gifted. Like Jesus Christ, he is terrifying. In terms of his athletic like capabilities, just from what we've seen from him in the ring, like he's so remarkably talented. So it's like you see where his strength lies. And unfortunately, this doesn't play to his strengths, but that's fine because now that Seth has come back, they can. I just hope they don't diminish Bronson because Seth is back. I kind of hope they actually give Bronson a little bit bigger role and they have him and Seth kind of play off each other more. And then you just have Bron be the big scary guy. Like, I think that could work.
So two things from this. One, a perfect example of Bron and the issue was during the match, he gets that spot where he's like, hey, let me sing a song for you while the camera mic can pick him up, and he's doing that, and it's the kind of thing like he's trying to be a bastard heel taunting, and it just comes across as like awkward high school bully. Not, and it's one of those things like I will say Roman did really well during his title reign of those moments and being and portraying it better, being like the cocky heel when he's taught, you know, like when he has people in the chin lock and he's just talking to them and just berating them. It came across more as like, yeah, I'm putting boots to you. With Bron, it just felt really awkward and really just like cringeworthy in a sense. And in terms of moving forward, I think the dynamic, if I had to place where this is going to go moving forward, is like you touched on, Lindsay, I think Seth will talk. I think they're going to lean more into Bronson doing the stuff like stealing the shoes and being able to kind of have a personality. I think they're going to pull back on Bron, but I think Bron is going to be the one simmering in the back. And if there's going to be a fracture, it's going to be between him and Seth. Because remember, when Seth got hurt, the first thing he did was step up and say, like, I'm the leader. And so, if anything, they may placate that of Seth is back. He is taking full ownership of the visionary group, but Bron will be that kind of second in command, but has eyes on first, I think, moving forward. And you can do more of a Brock Lesnar thing of big, scary guy, doesn't talk much and just kills people. Because I think, like you said, that's ultimately where he's going to fit in.
So a couple of things. One, the jock personality works when he's a babyface, not as a heel.
Yeah.
Because he can get the crowd up and amped. So that was always my, whenever they said we're lining with Heyman, that was always my big thing because they're pushing him as the jock. And he had to then restrain himself when he's with Heyman. But he was being in a tag team guy, so he could work it. Now, when he had to be in the singles role as a heel, it doesn't work because he's trying too much to be a jock. And it doesn't come off as heelish as they want it. The crowd wants to bark.
It's like having a really big high flyer as a heel. It's really hard to do because people pop for the spots.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. An injury will probably play a part in it as well. But Jay and Roman got the win. We got new women's tag team champions, though. Charlotte and Alexa came out on top. I thought it was a good match.
It was. I thought this is where they were going to kind of go with it. And they did what I talked about, but in reverse. I thought Roxanne was going to kind of give herself up to save Raquel, and that would help kind of strengthen them. But ultimately, it was like Charlotte gave herself up, and Alexa took advantage.
After Alexa screwed up, yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah. Lexi screwed up, and it was just the kind of like, oh, is this where things are going to go? And I liked the part where she had her in the first part of the Sister Abigail and looks over her shoulder like, oh, is this where it's coming? And then Charlotte just lays out Raquel, and it's like, never mind, let's go.
We're good. Yeah. We're fine.
Let's take it home. But I do kind of like the fact that they're touching on, you know, Charlotte is having fun with Alexa. And I think that that's, you know, off camera as well. But it's nice to see, like, Charlotte in this spot where it's like, yeah, she's actually getting traction with the fans. and that moment where, like, she's getting in the ring and you see her, like, she's not being just full baby face in this respect. She's still Charlotte, but when she's getting in the ring and she sees, like, the little kids and she's, like, giving them the high five, like, really quickly, it's kind of like, okay, she's playing the role and having fun doing this kind of thing, but not being, not having to sell out to be, like, the John Cena version of a face.
The one thing with Charlotte is we rarely have seen her, work with other people, at least in terms of being a tag. She's done it. Like, don't get me wrong. She's done it. But for a large portion of her career, especially on the main roster, she's always been alone. And she's always been sort of packaged and presented as above everybody else, somewhat unapproachable. You know, they put her on her own pedestal, as it were. And so it's very hard to connect with someone like that. And so it's the perfect position if you're going to be a heel. And that's why I think in part Charlotte is such a good heel, is because they put her in that position. She knows how to play that very well. And so it comes off as what it needs to be. With this, we're seeing much more of Charlotte's natural personality coming through, at least in what she's giving us. She and Lexi have a really good energy together. You know, they're just, you can tell they're going out there and they're just having fun with it. Like, it's rehearsed and it's scripted and it's staged, but you can tell that they themselves are enjoying it and they themselves are having fun with it. And it's not just business, because it's like they did interviews for SummerSlam where they went to Knott's Berry Farm and they had Lexi and Charlotte ride one of the roller coasters there separately, right? And the interviewer was interviewing them while they were on the roller coaster. And you saw Lexi's interview and she was having a great time, right? Like, she was enjoying the hell out of it. And then they put Charlotte on the roller coaster and she's like, I'm going to kill Lexi for this. This is all her fault. Like, and then she's trying to do the interview while doing the roller coaster. But it's like that kind of stuff where it's like you can tell that there is something there, right? And it's very natural and it's very readable and it's coming through. Where it's like these two very unlikely individuals who you would never expect them to work together. You would never expect the gimmicks to work together, because they are, it's almost like the Wednesday scenario.
That's a really good analogy, actually.
Where you have like Wednesday Adams, and then I don't know the other girl's name because I haven't watched the show, but like where it's like the blonde haired, blue eyed, like loves color and pink and sparkles and all the other things. And she's roommates with like Wednesday, or it's like Elphaba or Glinda, right? It's like, it's that pairing, and that's why it works. It's the odd couple pairing, and that's why it works. And they're putting it together so well. And they're like the natural, like, lean in to each other, where they're very, very steadily coming together as friends, frenemies, however you want to put it.
No, she just dropped the F word. So
she just dropped. Well, they hugged. They did hug.
But then on the post, they were talking. She said she dropped the F word. So the friends, maybe.
They're friends.
Well, and I mean, we've seen odd couples before. I mean, Lindsay, there's your favorite odd couple of all time. Hug it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I think it's that opposites attract personality that just works, because I mean, there was an entire show of it, you know, the odd couple. It's, you see the juxtaposition between the expected and then like what kind of growth, you know, there. It's that, oh, we may be different, but there are similarities, so this is what happens. But I think, especially with this, it's like, with Alexa, she's had a lot of kind of the mean girl role. And, you know, she's played that with Mickey, she's done that with Becky, she's done that with a lot of people. When she plays the heel, and she goes, like, full into it, she can be just the queen bee to the extreme. Charlotte is very much, you know, wrestling royalty, prim, proper, I'm, you know, athletically gifted and better than you. But this gives that opportunity to have those moments where it's like, you get to let a little bit shine through that normally wouldn't. Like, for Alexa, she's a full-out Disney nerd. She knows the Powerline dance. She's done it on TikTok. And it's that kind of thing, like, you don't expect to see that. Well, you kind of do expect to see that, but you don't really see that with the Alexa Bliss character. And so, like, when they get to do the little things, like, you know, they're walking to the ring and you see Charlotte, like, kind of, like, lightly push her or, like, pinch her on the side, and Alexa's having to respond to it. And, Like when they get in the ring and Charlotte does her pose and Alexa goes right in front of her to do her skirt. It's playful one up, but it's not like you're trying to fully put the other person down. You're just trying to like, this is my spot. And then like your sister comes along and it's just like, no, I want this. And it's like, oh shit. So the dynamic between them is just so fun to see. And as you touched on, I think they're having fun because they get to play a role, but then they get to let, I think, a little bit of themselves shine through. And as has been discussed in the lead up to SummerSlam, it has done the amazing thing of getting Charlotte over with the fans. Because for so long, it's been, oh fuck, it's Charlotte in the bank. But now people are kind of like, no, we kind of want to see her with Alexa. Like, we want to see this.
The crowd wants it, and they're giving it to us. So
right,
mm-hmm.
That's all you can really ask for. I think another surprise coming out of the show, Jelly Roll lost.
Can I have one?
Go ahead, one more.
Can I have one more thing to the Charlotte? They made the absolute right call putting the titles on them. By the way, they won. Charlotte and Alexa won. They made the absolute right call putting the titles on them.
Okay, they did.
We can go.
Well, yeah, because now you get to see what happens with the Judgment Day and Roxanne when they don't have the title, because Roxanne stepped in to take the title.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't have that, and now you get to develop that story of, like, is Raquel going to be cool with her, or is it going to be this kind of thing like, you got pinned, like, you cost Liv her title. Because if you notice, Raquel still had the Liv Forever on her gear, so it's, does Roxanne still ingratiate herself to, or have to ingratiate herself to the Judgment Day, or is it going to be one of those things of maybe Finn or Dom or someone tries to come after Raquel or Roxanne, and Raquel's kind of like, no, like, she did her best, and you realize, like, okay, no, maybe she's in more than we thought.
For sure. All right, now, can we move to the other match? Get all your thoughts out, Brent. Okay. So Jelly Roll lost.
That was a surprise. That was a huge surprise. I was not expecting that at all.
The scenario played out like I thought it would, because now Logan Paul has more heat on him. It's great.
I mean, did he need more heat on him?
No, but if you're going to, if Logan Paul is Logan Pauling, what better way to encapsulate that than take, Jelly Roll, who the fans have gotten behind, and have him pin him?
I'm just going to say this. Full respect, full claps for Jelly Roll tonight. I thought he did outstanding for the little training that he had. I have full respect for him for taking the table spot and the whole sell of that afterwards. But yeah, like the ending where you just have Logan Paul pin him and then it's him and Drew celebrating the ring and everybody's pissed was just like, okay, all right, well, I guess we know where we stand with that.
And I will say, so of course, the story making the rounds is, yeah, Jelly Roll is the fill-in for the other celebrity that was going to be doing this kind of thing.
No.
But I think... What?
No. Jelly wanted to do this. Jelly's been bugging him for years. He's not a fill-in.
I understand. I was just saying, like, there is a story going around that...
You know how stories go.
We're getting there. But the one thing I will say about Jelly Roll that plays into this is that package that played before the match and talked, like the sit down interview where it's like, he wanted to lose the weight and do this. This means so much to him. And then you had people like, Matt Bloom and Taker talking about like, he's committed. Like he mentally wants to do this. He is giving what he can and will to do this. And that played into, and I know Tim has talked about this with like celebrities and like this idea of, oh, they come in and they do like their little bit, but it's like, we've seen with Bad Bunny, we've seen with Logan Paul, we've seen Stephen Amell, like they're getting more to this point where like the people who want to be involved understand the process and are like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going into this. Like I'm committing myself to 2 months of training to be able to have a match on a big stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, it shows, to the people who are going to be like, oh, if you want to, for the celebrities, okay, if you want to be on cam, sure, we'll put you at ringside and you can, get the little drive-by that they do before matches of, oh, look, here's Drewski. And
kinda
here's
like they did
this
also
person
with Cardi B.
Right, like, here's Cardi B, whereas in the past it was more like Cardi B would be involved in an angle and, like, get slapped by someone. Yeah. And it's kind of, it's like, okay. But we're now seeing with some of these celebrities, it's like, no, they want to put the time in. They're big fans. They want to do this right, so that when you get a spot like Jelly Roll of, okay, we're going to put you in a mat, you know, the semi-main on night one of SummerSlam, and he's like, this is a big freaking deal. I'm going to do what I'm going to do everything I can to get ready for this. And it's like, when that happens, WWE is more likely to go, okay, like, we'll trust you. And then it sets things up further for the future for both sides.
Agreed. Yeah. And I mean, they're setting a standard with that that I very much like, because even though I think we all kind of had the gut shot reaction with Jelly Roll, where it's like, why? I know I was like, why? Why are they going to have Jelly Roll? Like, why are they going to have him come out and wrestle? Because you would think that out of everybody, it's like he wouldn't be the one to do it. But it's like they're setting this precedent where it's like, no, like, you, to your point, if we are bringing a celebrity in to work, to wrestle, they will work. They will wrestle. There is an expectation there. It's not like the past, because on the pre-show, they were like showing the celebrity montage of all the celebrities that have turned up in WWE over years and gotten in the ring and done different things. And yeah, you see the difference, right? Like, instead of them maybe hitting a move or hitting a spot or just being out there for 5 minutes, like, you had Jelly Roll go out there and he worked a match and they were out there for 17 minutes and he was an active participant in it. It wasn't like he was out there for the full 17 minutes, stood on the ring apron for 15 of it, went in, hit one spot, and that was it. The man laid on a table and got splashed on from the ring post. And then he took another one in the ring from Logan Paul. Not to mention everything else he did in the match.
He earned
it. For a celebrity, that's relatively high risk.
Yeah, he played the person in peril for a good amount.
Yeah, he was involved heavily in the match. He worked his ass off. Hunter's talking about how he earned respect for just getting out there and performing. He earned his spot. He didn't, like, half-ass it. He came in, he did his stuff. You could tell he trained. You could tell he worked hard. He was 299 pounds. The first time he's been 299 pounds, under 300, since middle school, high school, in that range. So
good for him.
And again, it shows the respect he has for the business. And in my opinion, the business in turn showed respect to be like, yeah, we're going to feature you. We're going to put you in there so that you have the chance to, like Lindsay said, you're not Lana at the Survivor Series where it's like, stand on the ring steps. It's, we're going to give you spots to, you know, let you be a active participant in this. And you know that, like, he's going back on tour and it just means the world to him. Like, this is a life moment for him where it's just like, I got to be in a WWE ring at SummerSlam and I got to perform. Holy shit.
He just talked about it. It was up there with getting married and his having his kid and his first, like, one, like, performing for the first time. It was up there in that top tier of moments of, it's special.
Also, the thing for, like, a fan, like, if any of us three got that opportunity, it would just be like, I'm sorry, what? Oh, shit, okay.
He broke his pinky training for this. Good job,
Which man. Is not well, good for a musician.
No. But also, again, this goes, I think, to helping set the standard, because, again, if you have people that want to come in and they have, like, their relationship, you know, oh, hey, we're going to do this deal with WWE, it's that kind of thing of, okay, well, is this going to be just a camera spot, or do you want to put in some work? And I think having a Bad Bunny and having a Jelly Roll and having a Stephen Amell now, where it's kind of like, this is the level that you're going to be set to. So you either work yourself up to this, or we're not going to put you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to kind of, like, veer off on the celebrities, I was actually surprised how little Cardi B was involved in the show. Like, you had her come out at the beginning and that was an outfit. It was a good outfit, but it was an outfit. It was a lot. But you had her come out at the beginning of the show. She kind of did her thing at the beginning of the show. And then I think they showed her, like, one more time. And that was it. That was all she did. And they've been hyping up that she was going to be there for months, that she was hosting the show. And I guess I thought that just because based on past, like experiences when they're like somebody's coming in to host the show that they would have featured her a little bit more. But the fact that they didn't is kind of, this is not a shot at her, but it's like, it was kind of refreshing that they didn't make it more about her and they kept it more to the actual physical like product. And well, yeah, there is Night 2, but like,
I don't know if she's there for Night 2. I don't think she's there for Night 2. At least according to reports. And I think whatever they had planned probably changed based on life occurrences. And yeah.
Is she pregnant again?
I don't think she's pregnant again. But I think whatever they had planned and the people she was going to interact with probably weren't available.
That's fair.
So.
That's completely fair.
Yeah. So main event.
Do we want to talk about it? The elephant in the room?
Let's talk about the main event.
Brent's favorite match.
Look, match was great. Match told a story. Then there was another story.
There was an epilogue.
Yeah, we'll get to the epilogue in a minute.
Lord of the Rings where it had like five endings.
I want to talk about the actual match. I thought they delivered.
I messaged you guys during the match. This helped show Gunther is a beast.
Yeah.
The amount of punishment that he was giving to Punk and the amount of selling that Punk was doing in this match. Like, I understand Gunther lost, but it's not one of those things like you're not going, Gunther got punked, for lack of a better term. Like, he didn't lose standing from this. If anything, it shows the amount of punishment it takes to put this man down.
Which is something we haven't necessarily seen him do in quite a while. Like, I would say a year solid, because it was difficult to get that IC title off of him, and it was difficult to get that world title off of him the first time. Because, yeah, I always compare him to the fact that he's the big guy that they bring out when you challenge the bad guy, and they're like, oh yeah, you have to fight Gunther. And you're like, who's Gunther? They bring out Gunther, and he's this big-ass beast of a man. So he should be difficult to beat.
Well, yeah, it's... I mean, in the storyline of Gunther, like, he lost the IC title because he got cocky.
Mm-hmm.
If he had simply gone in and put the boot to Sammy's neck, Sammy wouldn't have gotten that IC title off of him. But instead, he was doing the splash after splash, and he got cocky, and that's when he got caught, and Sammy capitalized. With Jay, it was, all right, I'm going to beat you down and beat you down, and we started to see a little bit of the resiliency of Jay Uso, and that's, you know, Gunther pushed too many of Jay's buttons, and he hit the wrong one, and so Jay was able to come out and win. With Punk, it was, he beat him down so much, but then he made the mistake, and it put Punk into a new gear when Punk saw the blood. It was that kind of thing like in 300 when the Spartans were fighting Xerxes, and it's like they proved that a god can bleed. It's like that's the moment with Punk there when he busted open Gunther on the table. It was like that's what set Punk off and put him ultimately into, you know, towards the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gunther looked mortal at that point. It's the same thing with Ilya when he faced Gunther. Gunther threw everything in the kitchen sink, but Ilya just took it to that, you know, that fifth gear and was able to come out on top.
So,
yeah,
this match had to deliver. As we've talked about the entire show, kind of just felt so. They were the main event. They delivered. I don't know how long the match went. It felt like 25, 30 minutes. Somewhere around
the match
there.
I will tell you in just 30. A second.
30. Went 30.
That seems about right. And then all the aftermath, what have you. But they were the two pros that had to go out there and deliver a big time wrestling match. And that was the first match of the entire night that felt like, hey, this is WrestleMania level. And we talked about it on Thursday because when you watched Unreal, they were like, one of the plans was Punk and Gunther for WrestleMania. Did it happen? Because Jay got hot. They delivered a WrestleMania caliber match. CM Punk had his best match since returning because he was, and not to say he has had bad matches, I would say his best match since Drew. We'll go with that. In terms of full work ethic and stuff. I thought it was a hell of a fight. I like pretty much everything about it.
I will give full respect, where respect is due. Punk walked out there and put his his working boots on, and Gunther walked out there and put his working boots on, and they did exactly what they needed to do to make this feel special, to make this feel important, to make this have that main event feeling. Because we talked about it a lot on the build, that it's like, I don't know about this one, right? Because it didn't necessarily have that build that you like to see. Like, they had moments and they had highlights, but you have Punk, who's a fantastic talker, going against Gunther, who is he's a good talker, he's a decent talker, but he's not on Punk's level, especially when it comes to being a firebrand. And so you had a little bit of that personality mismatch that you're like, yeah, the match will be okay, but the build is just sort of so-so, right? And I think they knew that walking into this, and they absolutely delivered on it in every single aspect. Because you had a mixture of styles, you had a mixture of moves. It wasn't all straight wrestling, though you did see some more technical classical wrestling in this match.
I like the
and then you had more.
I like this. You talked about the technical style. It was the submission counter from the arm move, whatever the hell it's called, the triangle. He had him in the triangle, and then Gunther countered it out, was trying to counter out into the Boston Crab, and Punk countered out of that as well. I liked those transitions. I thought they were telling a really good story there. Like, Gunther was trying to figure out his way to get out of the triangle choke, and they were talking about Punk's use of jiu-jitsu, trying to, like, take him down with it. And I thought that was a really good sequence in the match. And Punk repeatedly coming back from all the big moves that Gunther was putting on him, I thought Punk looked really good as the underdog, coming, firing back up multiple times.
And it's kind of like, go ahead.
No one said anything.
Oh, I just heard background noise. I'm sorry. It's kind of like, how much more can Punk take? How much more can Gunther can take? Because we also had those brawling moments. We had, you know, Gunther getting busted open on the table, which everybody tonight tried like hell to break those announce tables. Like, there were several instances where everybody was trying to break those announce tables.
They're built better.
Jelly Roll and Logan finally did it, and everybody's like, oh, and the Gunther and Punk were like, oh no, we can't allow that. We can't have that. But yeah, like, I think the blending of styles, I think whoever got to catch CM Punk's nipples in the fifth row, good job.
Oh.
Because, God.
He got him good, but the one on the back, I thought, hurt worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there was a welt. I think there was like a handprint on Punk's back from that.
Well, also the back, you can kind of guess when it's going to hit, but you can't really see. And so there's not, like, you can try and tighten, but it's still going to fucking hurt. I think for me, one of the things that I like about this match and about Punk's run in the WWE so far is he understands the moments. Mm-hmm. And he understands his role right now in terms of the larger picture. And I think a lot of, like, what's the show again?
Unreal.
Unreal. I think that is helping shed a lot of light on it. And yeah, it's, you know, some of it is manufactured. That's fine. But, like, the look on his face when he got to main event WrestleMania. And yes, he lost in the main event of WrestleMania. I think Punk
did it.
I was going to say, I think Punk in his first run would have been pissed at the result. He would have been like, I'm in the main event of WrestleMania, but I still lost. And I think this version of Punk, after having gone through everything he did, whether in ring, out of ring, elsewhere, etc., I think him coming in and seeing, like, what's going on with the business and, like, his relationship with Paul and how everything has changed. And it's like, he understands, I think, everything is part of a journey and is part of the larger story. And so for this, it's like, you get to main event, you know, the summer WrestleMania, your night one main event, just like you were for actual WrestleMania. And he gets the moment of winning the title. He's going to drop it 5 minutes later to Seth, but it's that kind of thing of, this is building to something even bigger. It's part of a larger story. And the match with Gunther is a huge moment. And, like, I have to sell my ass off for this to get this whole thing over and make him look good in the process. And he understands it and does what he needs to in that. So, you know, yeah, he put his working boots on, but it wasn't just because, oh, I'm going to win the title tonight. It's, there's something bigger. Like, he's going to look like a star out of this as well. And Seth is going to come in and be a you know, chicken shit heel. But this is also going to tell a great story. That's why him and Drew worked out so well, is because it was a 9-month storyline that they built and played the roles perfectly to get to that point.
There's then maturity. There's a maturity and a clarity that has come with this version of Punk that I very much enjoy, because we've talked about this before. He's made no bones about the fact that he's here for the money. He's here to do business, because he has that understanding now. Like, when he was there the first time, he was there for the passion, he was there for the fire, and he didn't have that same vision, and now he does. Because to your point, he understands it. He understands what they're trying to do, because he went somewhere else and he saw what they were trying to do. And I think that provided clarity as well in terms of how WWE does business versus how other promotions do business. And Punk came back with that fire lit under his ass. But it's, I know what I have to do to get where I want, and this is what I'm willing to do.
Well, and I think Unreal also touched on another aspect of that that helped provide clarity. And Punk realizes he's not a spring chicken anymore. He has very limited time left in the ring. And so it's one of those kinds of things, like, I think AEW helped clarify some of this for him when he knows he's older, he's around a bunch of young kids, and it's like, I think part of it is he wants to help give back moving forward. And that's why you see a lot of him with NXT. That's why, did you see the thing he did with Rhea, where they were sitting there getting interviewed, and he has to try and call someone really, like, who's someone that you can FaceTime that will answer? And Punk's response, aside from the joking one to Rhea, because it's right next to him, was Roxanne Perez. And it's because, like, he's been working with her. He's been, you know, tutoring her in the business. And it's like, yeah, she picked right up, and she joked, like, oh, I thought AJ was going to be on the other end of the line. But for him, it's, he's fostered these connections with, like, her and, who's the girl that just, Cora Jade. And he's doing stuff at the Performance Center, and it's because he knows he wants to have something outside of the ring when his time comes. And I think he knows, like, if I stay with WWE and I'm, you know, working with these guys, they're gonna give me a shot of, like, you know, look at Taker. Taker's retired, and I would argue he's about just as active being a coach as he was, even more so maybe than in, like, the last couple of years in the ring.
He's having fun down at NXT and doing LFG.
Hell, he was part of the Jelly Roll thing. He was training Jelly Roll.
Yeah, for Punk, it's story over success. And you could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about, I need to preserve my spot. He has his spot. He knows where he is, and he's not threatened by it as he was in the first run. Now it's time to, okay, I'm going to play my role.
So then there is the cash-in. Seth Rollins hobbled around all week, all month, after a very lame injury angle. It was lame. Could have did it, sold it more. In terms of, like, an actual injury. And then Uncle Dave decided to give everyone, oh my god, here's the scoop. Would have made it better if, you know, he didn't. He didn't give the scoop. We would have all been more surprised. Just saying.
But Rock, if he didn't tell us that he knew, if he didn't, you know, project that he is the greatest, you know, wrestling journalist there is in the world, then if he tried to come out later and say, I knew about this, no one would believe him. He has to come out first and foremost with it.
Yeah.
And then cover his ass in case it was wrong.
I feel like, though, for shit like this, like, I get it. You want the credit, right? You want the kudos and the street cred and the whatever. I feel like for stuff like this, just sit on it, right? Like, I saw it today where a lot of people were like, there were some people who were talking about kayfabe, and in particular to WWE on Unreal. It was a criticism of Unreal because it's like, well, it's, you know, pulling back the curtain. It's the loss of kayfabe. And everybody was like, well, kayfabe's been dead for like 20 years, dude. It's been dead for at least, what, 10 with the rise of social media and the fact that we see the performers, you know, out doing human things, right? It's wrestlers in the wild. And we know that the people on TV are not necessarily the same people that you're going to meet in real life if they're not at work, right? Like, the biggest thing is that has been revealed is this is a job. It's a fun job. It's a cool job, but it's a job, right? Like, Rhea Ripley is not Rhea Ripley all the time, like what it was back in the day. And so, like, for stuff like this, I kind of wish that kayfabe would live just to give us moments like this, right? Where it's, oh no, Seth's hurt. Even though we all very clearly knew Seth was not hurt. But it's, oh no, Seth's hurt. Because there was that moment, because they went for the knee, where you're like, but he could be, right? Because he has a history of knee problems. He's blown out his knee before. We know this about him. Like, it happened a couple years ago, right before WrestleMania, where he fucked his knee and he had to work to get back. And that's likely where this is getting pulled from, is that he fucked his knee and he had to come back. This was that. And we're all sitting there and we're like, what's going to happen? What is he going to do? And so to break something like that, where it's all fake and it's a big angle, and like, basically, I'm going to spoil the ending of wherever they do this. Whenever they do this, right? Especially if they do it at SummerSlam, essentially, I'm going to spoil the end of night one of SummerSlam for everybody that sees this. It's like, come on, man. Like, nobody likes the ending of the movie spoiled for them unless they ask for it. Like, it's one thing if somebody goes, hey, you saw, you know, whatever popular movie's out. Like, you saw Jurassic Park, right? How does it end? Oh, I don't want to tell you. No, just tell me. Tell me how it ends. Or like, you read a book and it's, well, how does, you know, and somebody asks you for a review and they ask you how it ends. It's that kind of thing where if there is a consensual aspect to it and you spoil it for them, that's fine. But to go out on the internet and be like, oh, hey, basically, F you all, I'm going to tell you that this is fake from the start and I'm going to ruin this for you and I'm going to spoil this for you. It's kind of infuriating because it's like, we get so little of this where there's a moment of, like, you question it, where the work is good enough. It's not great, but it's good enough that you go, well, but it could be true, right? It could be true, because all of us watch wrestling because we still want those moments where it could be true, because we want to get lost in that story. We want to get lost in this idea that, oh my God, Seth Rollins is hurt, and oh my God, he has Money in the Bank. And we talked about it for a fucking month, of what this could be and what it is. And that's what you ultimately want from wrestling. You want to get gotten by the story. And so to take that away from people, I feel like is kind of a dick move, just because you can't. Like, I get it. He's Mr. Reporter Man. He has to do this, whatever. But you don't have to at the same time. Like, you can sit on this shit and you can let people have this.
You want the perfect example of all of this kind of thing?
Yes.
So you're talking about the fact of, like, okay, he spoiled this, and we want that moment where there's true surprise. Go back earlier this year. What was the reaction to Elimination Chamber?
He'll turn her around the world.
When we heard, mm-hmm. when they pulled off the turn, and we all sat there and were like, holy shit, they did it. And we were talking, like, in the moment of, we don't get these anymore because the internet, because of people like Dave coming out and saying the things. With Cena, it was very much, everything was kept close to the vest, no one said shit, and then all of a sudden they pulled the turn, and we all were sitting there like, did we just see this? Did we just get what we wanted for 20 goddamn years?
So to back that up, we weren't scheduled to go live that night.
No, we went live in that moment!
And we reacted to it accordingly. And that's what you want. That's what we all want. Like, I feel like that's the end goal of all of us watching wrestling, regardless of who you watch or what you watch. You want to get lost in the moment and you want to get lost in the story. And nobody wants that taken away from them because, yeah, we all sit here and we all talk on the internet and we all bitch about stuff and we're all cynical as fuck about stuff sometimes. But as much as we do that, it's also, you know what? I fell in love with this because of the story, the ongoing, never-ending story that is wrestling, where it's one long book and it's chapter after chapter after chapter with rivalries that end, rivalries that begin, and rivalries that will go on for 20 years. And that's what we all enjoy. And just, I don't know why we went on this rabbit hole, but we're going down this rabbit hole. Brent got to rant, I get to rant too. God damn it, it's my show. But like, I guess it's just disappointing. Like, it's not even that I'm angry about it. It's just disappointing that you would that he would do this. And again, I understand it's wrestling news and you have to break it and you have to tell it. But at the same time, you know what? You could have sat on it. You absolutely could have sat on that and not been like, oh, it's fake. Oh, it's all an angle. Oh, it's all work. He's not really hurt. Like, you could have just leaned into that just a little bit. And you even could have spun it just a little bit to help tell that story if you really wanted to. You know? Am I alone in that?
As I touched on at the very beginning, my biggest problem with this whole situation isn't the storyline itself. If you wanted to do the Seth injury, you know, the fake injury, and have it as the surprise for SummerSlam, cool. That's totally fine. My biggest problem with this was the fact of, well, I'm going to, kind of like Lindsay, I'm going to tell you that this is what's happening, but I'm also going to cover my ass in terms of if Seth was really hurt, or if he was hurt more than they originally thought. Because, I mean, this could be absolutely fake. This could be, honestly, Seth tweaked his knee and we got worried for a bit, but it wasn't as bad as we thought. He can still do stuff. We're going to pull the trigger on this angle anyway. My biggest problem was him going the whole, well, this was the original plan, but if it doesn't happen, it's because it got spoiled. So just know that. Because again, the mentality behind that is, I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to float this. But if it doesn't happen and I would be made to look foolish or like I was wrong, I'm covering my ass so that I'm not subject to that. Because we've seen other people on the internet when they, you know, they leak stuff or they propose storylines. And if they get wrong, yeah, they get raked online because it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. But Dave can't do that because, of course, he is the wrestling journalist. So it's that idea of, like, I'm going to do this so that I'm covering my ass and I can't be wrong. Because, and we've seen that in other stages of life in the world we live in. It's, I'm going to throw this thing out there. And then if you try to question me on it, oh, well, I didn't say it exactly like that, so therefore I'm not wrong. And it's like, just own up to it. If ultimately, did he throw a dart at the wall and hit the board? Sure. Good on you, Dave. You got one right. But it doesn't mean that, you know, everything he says is golden. Because the man has come out and said other wonky shit from behind the scenes, and it's been proven wrong. But he thinks he's Teflon, and no one will believe that he's wrong. That's my biggest problem with all of this.
So we're done giving Dave attention now?
Yes.
Okay.
The more I can, the more I can go about forgetting him, the better.
So Seth, as I was saying 10 minutes ago, Seth faked, you know, hobbling around, started to walk away, and then stopped and took off the knee brace, charged to the ring, and did the deed. Cashed in Money in the Bank, and became your new world heavyweight champion. Fans loved it. Fans got excited. Punk fans are probably pretty upset that their boy finally won a title and then no longer has it. As we said, Punk's about the story, and the story is now he has something to chase. Revenge is going to be on his mind coming out of it. It worked.
Well, we never got quite the full Punk and Seth feud or resolution.
No, we did. They had their big match on Netflix debut. That was the end. And they were moving forward. So now that's the next chapter. And they will always have hatred for each other in the story. So we'll get it. And they always want to cost each other. Now Punk has a reason to go after Seth Rollins and challenge him for the title. If Punk gives him the opportunity. And
my reaction.
Seth could have been hurt. Seth could have been hurt. Mm-hmm. But you know, not that hurt.
It could have been a tweak to the knee rather than an actual blowout like we thought.
Because he was hurt going into the match. That's why they did what they did.
Yeah, so they just may have decided to rest him and be like, just go home and chill and we'll come up with something. Like, the angle could have been fake where he hurt his knee, but he could have been actually injured and they were resting him. We don't know. And that's the thing. We probably will never know until Seth gives an interview and tells the truth, or Punk gives an interview, or Gunther gives an interview, or somebody talks about it where they say, this is what happened. But we will never know, and that's fine.
But to put a bow on it, the whole story of kayfabe, they sold it like it was real.
Yeah.
Seth walked around all the time with a knee brace, anytime he was in public, even with his kid, sold it. Becky did a great job of putting videos out there of selling it. He hosted a national talk show talking about it. So they sold it as a real. So guess what? You still have a little bit of kayfabe left.
You still had a little bit of kayfabe left, but there could have been more, is my point. There could have been more. There always could have been more, but I'm not angry about, and I'm not even mad about it. Like I said, it's just, it's more disappointing than it is anything else, because it's so counterproductive to what they're trying to do that it's like, dude, just sit down. Just sit down and watch the damn show, okay? Like, you don't need to do it like this. Just sit down. Watch the show. Enjoy it.
Fucking prestiged.
So I guess we're not done on day eight. We're gonna...
Now we're done. We're done. We're done. We're so done. I'll move it on by saying my reaction to Punk winning the title was number one, good for him. It's a great moment for him. Like, he has climbed that mountain. He came back. You know, he has proven himself to not repeat his past sins. He has proven his redemption. He's climbed that mountain. He's achieved the main title. So good for him. Congratulations to him. He sold it like a champ. But my first, after that, it was please, dear God, wrap that man in bubble wrap and do not let him do anything stupid. Because we all remember the title runs in the other companies where he got it and then he got hurt pretty much directly after that.
Jumping into the crowd.
Out. Yeah. So it's do not let that man do anything foolish. Just wrap him in bubble wrap, put him in a car, drive him out of the arena and get him away. And somebody babysit him 24/7 until he loses that title. And then Seth came out and Seth won. And it's oh, okay, never mind. We're good.
He had 5 minutes. Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
So overall.
But again, the point is he won even if he lost.
Yeah. He climbed the mountain. He did the thing. So he did not fail it twice in a row. He did win. But in the end, he got screwed.
Yes.
That's the story that comes out of it.
He got screwed by the thing he used in his past. Remember, 2-time Money in the Bank winner, CM Punk.
By the person he hates most.
Right.
That's wrestling.
That's why we love it.
Good show.
The drama.
Lindsay, you talk about it being a story, or, a soap opera, so we got soap opera out of it.
I sit here with my teapot and my tea, and I drink it, and I watch wrestling, because, that's what you do. That's why we're here.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam.
That was SummerSlam. So are we doing housekeeping tonight, or are we doing housekeeping on Thursday?
There's still another half a show. No.
Well, I didn't know.
We don't have housekeeping yet.
We have preliminaries if we want.
You want to give preliminary? Give preliminary.
I don't have places marked down, but I can tell where people are in terms of their picks. Rock, you're currently at 4-2.
Okay.
Lindsay, you are 3-3. Yay! I am currently at 3-3. I started off 3-0, and then the back three matches screwed me. Even though I proposed the whole Logan Paul storyline, I picked against it and it bit me in the ass.
Like it does.
There are two people currently at 5-1. One of them is Sarah.
Yes.
Good.
The other is Rob.
Oh, God.
He missed the opening match and has back-ended sweeped so far for night one.
I mean...
And only one person is below 500. And I will give you three guesses who it is.
Let's say Tim.
No, he is 4-2 right now.
It would be Sub.
It is Subway at 2-4.
Well, there is tomorrow. He could still beat us all.
He's still, you know what? There's an entire second day. Things can change, although a lot of people have picked the same kind of matches. But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. Ultimately, my six-pack TLC match came down to a six-sided dice I rolled online, so I do not feel confident about my choice, but for the lulz.
Always for the lulz.
Exactly.
So we're done?
We're done.
All right, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, we're going to cover the first half and the second half of SummerSlam whenever the show ends. And wait, tonight ended. We were on early. So... I expect closer to 10 tomorrow.
Thank you, Papa Hunter.
But who knows? We'll see. But when that ends, we'll be live to talk about it on WTR.
I have a feeling it'll go a little longer, especially with that main event.
I think we're going to go closer to 10 rather than 9, 15.
Yeah.
Just call it a little bit of a hunch on that one. Which means Monday night's Raw Post Show, whenever Raw ends, around 10:30, we'll be live to talk about it. We'll be live officially at a time at 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. on Thursday to cover night 2. And we'll be back for CB Radio next Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. That Rack Radio Show and all social media platforms where it gets podcasts to search the Rack Radio Show at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio, our channel. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch accounts called Prime Gang Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. Click the Monopoly Go box at below the all the things in chat. Do the thing on that. Click that. Download the game. Install. We'll talk more about that soon. Also, you can use carrier code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy your brand new battle pass, because that starts on the 7th for things. Halo.
And more. Power Rangers.
That's a spoiler. That hasn't been announced. It's going with what was announced. God. He's the Meltzer giving away the spoilers before it happens.
Well, the other one's true. I may have to go to tier 100, and I'm mad about it.
I mean, you just said it, Brent. You did give away the spoiler before it even was announced. So maybe it's not true. We'll see if Brent's words correct. We'll see.
if it's not true, the plan's changed.
Yeah.
It's not true. I will own up to it.
Anyway, Brent, you have social.
Yeah, so I am on socials. You can find me on Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Just keep an eye out in those places. You can find me there. And I'll be on tomorrow talking night 2 of SummerSlam. Well, probably the whole thing. And who knows, maybe I'll get all worked up again. We'll find out.
All right, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, at Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Like, subscribe, tell him we said hi, because Matt does amazing work. So for Rock and Brent, this has been night 1 of SummerSlam. We will see you on Thursday for night 2 minus Brent, unless he wants to come talk about it. You've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you on Thursday. Bye. WildTalkRadio.com.